The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley. I've got Diamond Gray on the controls and Scott Seacules in studio with me. How you doing, big boy?
Doing great. How about yourself?
He is a former NFL quarterback, and he is the head of the Positive Coaching Alliance here in Dallas, the Dallas chapter. Or is it the Southwest chapter? Or what is it?
North Texas. We're trying to North be nice Texas. To all of our neighbors.
Okay, good. Well, that's Dallas. Good. Well, you guys do such an important job, and it's always great to have you in studio. And, of course, the Super Bowl, the 52nd Super Bowl was, last week. And what did you – of course you
of
watched
course,
the game.
Of course.
And, of course, you used to play for the Dolphins, the Cowboys, and the Patriots.
Right. So I tended to root for the guys in red and blue. And it was interesting at Positive Coaching Alliance. We have another one of our staff members that played for the Eagles. So we got kind of pitted off against each other.
Oh, really?
You know, I more than anything hope for a good game.
Yeah.
You know, like all the advertisers do. And
boy,
you know,
did we get that.
Yeah, we got a great game. And there's interesting ties. The head coach of the Eagles was a teammate of mine in Miami.
Oh, nice.
For part of the season, my last year down there. So Doug Peterson,
he did an amazing job.
Crossed paths. He sure did. You know, I mean, and some very brave play calls.
Oh, yeah.
I'll use a good radio word there instead of the other version.
But, yeah.
I just did a great job, and it was a, I think, unfortunately or fortunately, everybody rooted for the Eagles.
Right.
You know, it's when you have a team that's a quote-unquote dynasty, everybody roots against them after
Well,
a while.
I was somewhere in the middle. Of course you want the underdog to win. That's just a feel-good, what do I want to say here? It just feels good to root for the underdog. And then, of course, I love and respect the Patriots. I think what they've done is amazing, all the work that that Belichick and Brady and the whole team have done over the years. I felt sad for Tom. I know you're like, okay, really? He's got how many championship rings?
But he
only has five. But, you know, the point is that he has really entertained us and played like a gentleman for years. And that
he's 40
I respect.
Years old. Right
I know. 40
years old.
40
years old and maybe had the best season he's ever had.
You think he's coming back after this?
I know he's coming back.
He is?
He wants to play till he's like 45.
Well, good for him. And I see, that's what I mean. How can you not like that?
You know? I mean, he could be a great person to sit in here because all the stuff that this show stands
I'll get him
for.
In. That would be great.
He is a Lexi, you're on.
All right, I'll do it.
He's a byproduct of all this healthy wellness.
Oh, I know.
Stuff.
He's a vegan. Absolutely is.
Avocado ice cream or whatever it is. Yep. That he catches so much grief for, but whatever his program is, it's working for him.
It works for him.
And that's the key.
And so in that respect, it's so funny. I always, of course, like most people recognize this or observe this, when the other team loses, like Tom Brady, he was gone. He vanished. No, I didn't see any after the game. Did they get him after the game to talk? I didn't see it.
Probably not. You know, that's a tough position. I saw somebody was asking him about next year or something, and his comment was, hey, the game's been over for 15 minutes.
Let the ink
dry,
yeah.
It hadn't even soaked in yet. You know, and you got to think about typically after a game, you know, the sportsmanship opportunity to everybody shakes hand and visits on the field. You don't have that in those big games. You know, pandemonium hits. There's green confetti flying. The blue confetti stays in the rafters.
Yeah.
And you basically kind of wave and run to the locker room so you don't get run over by somebody setting up a stage to do a trophy presentation. So,
yeah.
You know, those are awkward on games. And, of course, then somebody gets to go to Disneyland.
Right.
And that was one of the great stories of the whole game is, you know, and especially I appreciate it, as a backup quarterback, you know, that Nick Foles comes in and, you know, does his job.
Right.
You know, wasn't asked to do more, wasn't asked to do less, and played at a really high level. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see where he goes next year.
Yeah, what a game. Oh, my gosh. It was the most yards ever, right?
In any NFL game.
Yeah.
Not a playoff game.
Right, any game.
Period. almost 1,200 yards of offense.
It was incredible to watch. And, of course, Justin Timberlake's halftime show. He knows how to bring this country together is all I can say. Everybody wanted to dance or was dancing or was just enjoying watching him dance.
He is an amazing entertainer.
He is.
And I think, unfortunately, in this day and age that everybody's a critic,
yeah,
you can't keep them all happy.
Well, yeah. And
I know the show wasn't very good. Well, you know, and then you get out there and do it.
Yeah.
You dance and sing like that and be in as many places as he was around the football field and 10 minutes of a halftime show.
Absolutely. Well, and that happens a lot in life where people always have an opinion about something that they've never done. And they're great. There's a lot of great armchair quarterbacks out there, right, Scott?
So true. And that applies, as you said, not just to the football field or anything else, but we know what opinions are like, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. And but I appreciate all that commentating about the Super Bowl. I was thinking about you while watching, Tom Brady and the Patriots and wondering, of course, what was going to happen like everyone else in the country. But, again, what a great game. And, the NFL really is an amazing organization in so many ways. And I know that you guys closely work with them with the Positive Coaching Alliance. You do a really important job.
Well, I think it's great. And the NFL is big on right now trying to expand the game of football. And, and because there are so many pundits out there now that are, talking bad about football, we've gotten a lot of negative press.
Mm-hmm.
It's a violent game. The injuries, very apropos with what you're going to talk
right.
with Dr. Engel about, with the concussion issues. When should you start playing tackle football? All that's up for debate. And in the meantime, the numbers are going down.
Well, did you see the playoff game with the Bills where Tyrod got hammered,
I did.
Helmet to helmet, like in the, I think it was the first quarter, wasn't it?
It was. He went out real early.
And as soon as it happened, I text Dr. Kelly Ryder, who's one of the top concussion experts in the world who works with the NFL. I said, Kelly, he's got a severe concussion, doesn't he? He's like, yep. And sure enough, as soon as he took that hit, I'm like, that's it. I bet they're not going to win because he took such a bad hit. And after that, it was very evident that he was not playing well and he wasn't throwing the ball well. He looked very confused and made a lot of mistakes.
That's such a hard thing, Bernadette, and just how to evaluate.
Right.
I mean, to me.
But he took another hit to it in the fourth quarter.
How is this protocol working? The league is working very hard. There are unaffiliated people down there to help make these decisions.
Right.
And yet you have a situation like that where someone who looked like they were obviously concussed goes back into a game
right.
instead of to the locker room.
The guy that hit him, I don't remember his name, but his number was 91. I think that's what it was. I wanted to choke
him
out.
He's on your list, right?
He's on my most.
Well, your Bills finally got to the playoffs after all these years.
I know, after all these doggone years. And then to be taken out like that, I really felt like it was, I think the guy should have been ejected from the game, and I think that should be the standard in the NFL. If you intentionally hit somebody helmet to helmet, you're out of the game. And that'll put an end to it real quick.
Well, they do that in college sports. That targeting rule that they use
right.
in college. But you look and see it's a testament to the rest of the team. That put the backup quarterback in a tough spot. But look, 2 weeks later, Rob Gronkowski goes out in the AFC.
That's another one.
In the championship game against Jacksonville, he's out. So one of their key pieces. But they had enough wherewithal and enough talent to overcome that.
To overcome it.
Then they get in the Super Bowl, and early in the game, their deep threat, Brandon Cooks, number 14, gets pasted
yep.
when he doesn't see the guy coming and turns around and boom, and he's out.
Yeah.
And so their deep threat to stretch the defense is out, and that totally affects your game plan.
Of course. Those are such key players.
Well, and it's just that, but that's the thing, and you end up with it, that level with 53 people, you've got to have depth. And it's that, it's the mentality of the Patriots to do your job. And you look at the Eagles season and how many key guys they lost, including starting quarterback.
Right.
And yet they continued the next man up mentality and did their job. And
right.
that's, and look where they got.
Yeah, I still think they need to be ejected from the game, like the college rule. Because, you don't get to just damage a guy's brain for the rest of the rest of it.
What happened, you got to hit him in the wallet, Bernadette. That's, missing a game is less wear and tear on his
both?
Body. Well, you could. But,
yeah, both.
If you get kicked out, you don't get paid. Interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I like it.
I think you got it. That's why fines are what they are. You got to hit him in the wallet.
I feel that way about spaying and neutering. I think people should be fined for not spaying and neutering.
That was a good curveball.
Well, you know, well, I talk about it endlessly. Certainly. With people. How are we going to correct this problem? It's such an issue here in America. Well, all over the world, but especially here in America. Well, not every part of the world, but America really has a problem with spaying and neutering and just too many animals that get euthanized every year. And it's just, it shouldn't be happening. But we have a great show coming up. As you mentioned, Dr. Dan Engel is going to be on. He's a medical doctor, and he is the author of the Concussion Repair Manual, a practical guide to recovering from traumatic brain injuries. He is a rock star, and so is Miriam Calameum. She is the author of the book Keto for Cancer. We're going to be talking about confusion over dairy and keto, and Scott C. Kuehls is going to be talking about the price of silence, identifying toxic coaching, and how to keep kids safe. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Guess what? Charlotte's Web has done it again with their new hemp-infused nourishing body cream and balm. Their thoughtful formulation features beneficial botanicals to help support skin health and beautification. With vitamin B5, aloe, coconut oil, arnica, and shea butter to calm dry, itchy skin and support skin revitalization. And of course, all of the ingredients are sustainably grown, non-GMO, preservative-free, gluten-free, cruelty-free, and packaged in BPA-free containers. Find Charlotte's Web at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, I'm Eli Roth for PETA. While violence in the movies is make-believe, sadly, violence against animals is all too real. Countless animals are tortured and abused every day, and most of the time these crimes go unreported. If you know of someone who is abusing an animal, please tell the police or tell an adult. People who get away with hurting animals often turn their violence against people, and that's a cycle we need to break. So let's leave the violence where it belongs, on the screen.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Scott C. Kuehls in studio with me. He is a former NFL quarterback and associate director of the Positive Coaching Alliance of North Texas. And I have Miriam Calameum on the line. She is a nutrition consultant, educator, and the author of Specializing in the Implementation of Ketogenic Therapies. She earned her Master's of Education from Smith College and her Master's of Human Nutrition from Eastern Michigan University. She is board certified in nutrition by the Board of Certification for Nutrition Specialists. Inspired by the work of Thomas N. Seyfried, a PhD, who's actually been on the show before, Miriam draws on a decade of experience to provide comprehensive guidelines that specifically address the many diet and lifestyle challenges associated with cancer diagnosis. Miriam is a leading voice in the keto movement. Her passion for helping others comes directly from her personal experience. Her son, Rafi, was diagnosed with a brain tumor in December 2004, and that was what originally led her to Dr. Thomas Seyfried's research supporting the use of the ketogenic diet for cancer. Such an honor to have you back, Miriam. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Bernadette. How are you?
I'm great. And I want to give your website a shout out. It's dietarytherapies.com. That's dietarytherapies.com. So I've got your book in my hand, Keto for Cancer, Ketogenic Metabolic Therapy as a Targeted Nutritional Strategy. It's a great book, and the foreword is written by Thomas N. Seyfried, PhD. So, you know, confusion over dairy and keto, you hear a lot of it, you read a lot about it. So why may milk be a problem? And even if butter or cream are okay, what's the difference?
Oh, well, okay, let's start there. That's a good question. Milk is high in protein.
Okay.
And milk is intended by the cow to grow a baby calf into a full-grown animal.
Yeah.
So it's very anabolic. It contains a lot of hormones that help with the growth. So naturally, you've got the insulin also we need to think about in milk. Milk will stimulate an increase in insulin independent of a rise in glucose. And a lot of people just don't have that information, Bernadette.
Mm-hmm.
But that high level of insulin is also associated with another hormone that's associated with growth, IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor 1. So you get a double whammy. You've got this shot of insulin, and you've got this increase in IGF-1. So for people with cancer or some other diseases, this isn't a great combination.
Mm-mm.
So dairy proteins, and that would be milk, yogurt, cheeses, the things that have the protein component of the milk, those can be problematic if eaten in large quantities.
Well, yeah, and then, of course, my mind goes to the quality of the milk. My goodness, there is so much bacteria in the milk.
A lot of variation, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and then, you know, you've got 2%, you've got whole, you've got skim milk. I would, just guessing, ketogenic, if you are going to drink any milk, it must be the whole milk, whole fat, right?
Well, in ketogenic, honestly, you can't drink milk. You can have high-fat dairy products, and that gets into something else I want to be sure to talk about.
Okay.
So high-fat dairy, like cream and butter and ghee, those are so common as fat sources in a ketogenic diet because they are easily digested for a lot of people. Of course, some people have issues with the casein component of it, but for those who don't, high-fat dairy is great, except for people with hormone-sensitive cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a woman and you have estrogen-sensitive cancer, ER-positive cancer, or if you're a guy with prostate cancer, you don't want to be overloading your system with the hormones from milk, and, from cream, excuse me, and butter. And let me explain that a little bit, because the dairy production and the dairy cows in this country, they have been bred to produce just tons of milk, just a high level of milk. And to keep that milk production high, part of that is their level of estrogen remains basically abnormally high
mm-hmm.
for an abnormal length of time. And so that estrogen is not taken apart in our digestive system.
Mm-hmm.
It actually crosses the intestinal membrane, enters the bloodstream, and there you've got, you know, this hormone that attaches to
wow.
the estrogen receptors on cancer and causes them to grow. We also know that it can interfere with normal development in children, particularly prepubertal boys. So just, you know, the fat that they're going to get is not going to be from cream, but they're going to get some of it from butter.
Right.
And they're going to get some of it if they're drinking milk, if it has that dairy component
mm-hmm.
to it.
Well, so many doctors, doctors are saying a plant-based diet is so much better for you and to avoid dairy. This is one of the reasons why. I mean, we drink a lot of milk in this country. We eat a lot of ice cream, things like that. And if they if that milk has high levels of estrogen, I would think that's very problematic for especially a male.
Well, and that's what some studies have shown. But it's the combination of the protein in the milk and the estrogens and other toxins, frankly, in the fat. So this can be problematic. But when you are doing this for cancer, you've got to sort out what your priorities are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need the dairy fats in order to get you into ketosis or to maintain ketosis, then I'm supportive of that, except for people with hormone-sensitive cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should all be looking at how can we keep this within reason. I know what you said about plant-based. There's this huge plant-based push right now. We're even hearing it, you know, in corners that we've never heard it before. It's in documentaries. It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced that we need to go with plant-based. That has its own set of problems, Bernadette, for
mm-hmm.
a lot of people in terms of digestion and nutrient the interference with nutrient digestion that some plants can, you know, can do.
Yeah, no, I was reading something about that the other day. I'm having trouble pulling it up just as you said it, but there, you know, there is, you know, we're all on this, we're all in the search of what is the best way to find health through nutrition and diet and lifestyle. You know, I was reading your book last night, and I was reading the part, the chapter 6 about diet does matter, about macros matter, food quality matters, meal timing matters, fasting matters, micronutrients and minerals matter, and hydration matters, diet matters. Oh, okay. So in that chapter, you talk about kidney stones.
Yes. Yeah.
And what do you want us to know about kidney stones and the ketogenic diet?
Oh, okay. Kidney stones, if you have a personal or family history of kidney stones, the dehydration that sometimes comes in, especially in the early stages of the diet, just be aware of that. I mean, everybody should know that they need to stay properly hydrated. And that's one of the huge issues.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is when people shift to a ketogenic diet, sometimes there's this over-reliance on nuts. And nuts are high in oxalic acid, and we know that oxalic acid and calcium can combine to form crystals, and those crystals are, you know, the basis of the kidney stones, or some kidney stones. It's a big variety there.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who are switching to a ketogenic diet, I recommend that they keep their nut intake reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of ounces a day. Macadamia nuts have the lowest amount of oxalic acid, and to stay well hydrated. And if they have a personal history, talk to the nephrologist that that they have on their team before you start the ketogenic diet. Because there is you could take something called polycitric K, and that is citrate and potassium citrate, and that can lower the risk of developing that type of kidney stone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's certainly not anything that would stop me from adopting a ketogenic diet for cancer,
yeah,
or for other therapeutic reasons, mm-hmm, but it's a consideration.
Well, and the paleo diet eat a lot of nuts too. They eat a lot of nuts and seeds. And so that's good information, excellent information to get out there to everyone. So what does lactose intolerant really mean?
Okay. We are just built to be able to make an enzyme that digests the sugar that's in milk, and that is lactase. The enzyme is called lactase. So if we're lactose intolerant, another way of saying it is lactose malabsorption, we don't have enough of that enzyme. And that usually starts developing in the teens or in adulthood because, in theory, teens and adults don't need milk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, particularly, there's populations like the Middle Easterners and American Indians that never traditionally had milk as adults, and so they have produce less of this enzyme. Where the confusion is, Bernadette, is that a lot of people with lactose intolerance, they know that they're lactose intolerant, they think they can't have other dairy products.
Mm.
They think that they can't have cheese, or they can't have cream or butter because they're going to have some kind of bad reaction to
right.
it. But in fact, we are perfectly capable, most of us. I'm lactose intolerant, but I can certainly have butter, cheese, because it doesn't have the lactose in it. Or if it does, it has a tiny amount of it, and my body can still handle that. So again, with cancer, there's nuances. A lot of the chemotherapy drugs cause a temporary lactose intolerance. So we have to look for that because it can be a little more extreme form of a dairy rejection during active chemo treatment.
Well, so many people are fighting cancer across this nation. Mm. And, you know, I'm looking at the book and there's a part of a chapter here. It says, what your oncologist doesn't know about nutrition. Oh. Would you like to elaborate?
Oh, well, you know, I don't expect any, when people come to me, the assumption is until proven otherwise that their oncologist knows just about zero about nutrition, or worse, thinks they know something about nutrition and is more than happy to give you misinformation about it. And one of the common ones is diet doesn't matter. Eat what you want. Diet doesn't matter. Eat a balanced diet.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're hearing that kind of stuff from your oncologist, understand that they have not had nutrition training. So they are just firmly hardwired into the nutrition guidelines that they've been exposed to, and there's growing body of evidence that those are just not the way to go, not have been what we are evolutionarily programmed for in terms of what we should be eating. You know, where has there been this time in history where we had access to grains the way that we do now, and sugars the way that we do now, and apples the size, you know, of small basketballs, it seems like. They just keep going bigger and bigger. And that just isn't where we came from. So
right.
We're in such a different food environment than we were, you know, 10,000, 20,000 years ago, or before that, Paleo Man.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to look at, with more critical thinking, at what those guidelines are and what our history actually dictates, what our adaptations within our body. And that's the kinds of guidelines that the oncologist is not going to be presenting to you. They're going to stick pretty much with the guidelines that say we should be taking in over half of our total calories for the day in the form of carbohydrates, mostly as starches and sugars. It's crazy.
Well, you're so well-spoken. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show. Always a pleasure, Miriam. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, and your book is amazing. It's a comprehensive guide for patients and practitioners, Keto for Cancer, the Ketogenic Metabolic Therapy as Targeted Nutritional Strategy by Miriam Kalamiam. That's K-A-L-A-M-I-A-N. You can find it in our social media. Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why ICW? ICW because Charlotte's Web is an amazing family-owned Colorado company founded by the Stanley Brothers. CW Hemp leads the industry in quality, safety, consistency, and social responsibility to improve lives daily through the use of Charlotte's Web hemp extract. I personally use CW for calm and focus. CW Hemp helps me perform my best every day, and that's why I CW. Find Charlotte's Web at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended. Welcome back to One Life Radio. I love that song, Diamond.
This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley. I've got Scott Seacules in studio with me. He is the associate director of the Positive Coaching Alliance of North Texas and a former NFL quarterback who's played for the Patriots, the Cowboys, and the Dolphins. In fact, he got a concussion in Indianapolis a few years back, which maybe a few years back, maybe he'll want to talk with Dr. Dan Engel about it. Dr. Dan Engel, MD. Dr. Dan is board certified in psychiatry and neurology with a clinical practice that combines functional medicine, integrative psychiatry, neurocognitive restoration, and peak performance methods. Dr. Engel lectures and consults globally and is the medical advisor to Onnit Labs, the True Rest Float Centers, and several international treatment centers using indigenous plant medicines for healing and recovery. His book, The Concussion Repair Manual, I have my new copy right here in my hand, gives patients all the tools, techniques, and treatments that they can use to heal themselves, as well as providing a workbook that lets them track their progress. It's also useful to doctors as the most comprehensive look at brain injury and all of the modalities currently available to treat it. His other programs include Freedom from Meds and Full Spectrum Medicine. You can find Dr. Dan at Dr. Dan Engel. That's ENGLE.com. Dr. Dan Engel, welcome back. How are you today, Dr. Dan?
I'm great, Bernadette. Great to be on the show again.
It is great to have you back, as always. So what's all this recent talk about concussions?
Well, concussion is the number one name in sports right now. And as a result, it's been getting more and more press. And the reason is we're starting to see some of the significant long-term ramifications in high-profile athletes. There's been really impactful studies that have been shown recently to be able to see inside the brain post-mortem when we're able to look at the long-term lifelong effects of long-term brain injury, really see that there's an accelerated degenerative condition that happens after so many head traumas that are stacked on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when these high-profile athletes kind of come online and say, hey, we're really worried about this, and the NFL and the NHL and the MMA guys, you know, they're starting to pay attention to it as well. Some are even opting out of long-term contracts because of concern of their brains over time. So a lot of people are just getting a lot of more information about the potential ramifications.
Mm-hmm. Is there like a one-stop supplement, if you will, like that's got, because I know my daughter recently had a little, she got a concussion. It was a mild one, but we immediately put her on fish oil and hemp oil. And so is there something that exists where you can take it all in one capsule presently?
There are some supplements on the market that seem to have a lot of the reparative factors under one umbrella. The two that I'm most familiar with is one is Alpha Brain.
Oh, yeah.
From a
okay.
company called Onnit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other is Qualia from a company called Neurohacker Collective.
Interesting.
The Onnit Alpha Brain has fewer ingredients, and it's a bit more of a streamlined supplement. And the Qualia has quite a bit more, and part of it you take before a meal and part of it you take with a meal. So it's a little bit more complex.
Yeah.
In my experience, they work about equally. And neither of them, however, have a couple of the chief components for a targeted supplementation regimen immediately after concussion that I think are really helpful as well. And you mentioned a couple of those, one being fish oil and another being CBD and a cannabidiol, and the medical benefits in the anti-inflammatory arena for products from the hemp plant and the cannabis plant themselves.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to know about it, that's for sure. And I know you're one of the leaders doing the research on this, and your book is very comprehensive. It's a great book. But let me ask you this. How big is the problem? How widespread, and how does someone know if they're being negatively impacted by a concussion?
Yeah, it's one of those quote-unquote silent epidemics. Oftentimes, people don't know that they've suffered a concussion because there's a lot of misidentification and wrong information and old information out there. For example, I just had a client that I was speaking to a couple of weeks ago, and she said that, you know, this is a hockey player, college hockey player, three significant concussions within the span of like 6 months. She saw experts in the field. One was the head of a neurosurgical department, and said that she didn't have a concussion because she didn't lose consciousness.
Oh.
And that is an old idea.
Right.
because and that's what a lot of people have in their mind stream. Concussion equals loss of consciousness, and that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there are like 4 million or so, that's a rough estimate, I think it's on the low side, at least 4 million concussions a year in sports alone.
Wow.
And half of those people don't even know that they have been concussed, and half of those that have been concussed don't even report them.
Yeah, as you were speaking, Scott Seacules was shaking his head as a former NFL quarterback. He's taken a few hits. Anything you want to say, Scott, to Dr. Dan?
No, it's been 25 years since I've played, so this whole the scientific approach and impact testing and all the baseline stuff that they're doing is amazing. But back then it was take a couple aspirin and don't drink a beer on the plane ride home.
Oh, wow, really?
Basically, yeah, you're going to have a headache. You know, and right. I had a head bouncer in the RCA Dome in Indy a long time ago. So,
wow.
It's just changed, and I think the attention to it and yet, as we talked earlier in the opening, it's such an inexact science.
Yeah.
You know, the NFL's trying to develop a protocol that they keep getting wrong
mm-hmm.
on a weekly basis, and that's what brings more and more press, as Dan says.
What do you say, Dr.
Yeah.
Dan?
Agreed. And thankfully, we're learning more and more about it. My background is in competitive sports as well. I played soccer. And we didn't know anything. Football, you get the sense that, yeah, that's a gladiator sport. There's a lot of tackle. There's a lot of head-to-head combat. Soccer, there's not a lot of head-to-head combat, but there's a lot of head-to-ball contact. And it's interesting. I got some of this data from another company called One Hit Away, which is a really good, strong advocacy program for people with concussions. And I wasn't aware that boxers in a boxing ring, when they get slugged in the head by another boxer, that's 20 miles per hour of force per hit to the brain.
Wow.
Which is pretty significant. On the soccer field, soccer players that head a soccer ball at full speed, 70 pounds.
Wow.
70 miles per hour of force pound per head to the soccer ball.
I never even thought about that. You know, you hear.
I never even thought about that too, right? And I played for 20 years.
Wow.
And I just got my brain scans and my brain, I geek out on this stuff all the time. And I've been in neurocognitive recovery science for 10 years. I just got my brain scanned a few months back just to see where it was. And I still have obvious deficits over that period of time. And so there's still more to know. There's still more education and advocacy. And I think that's the biggest thing that your show can promote is the education and advocacy right now, because that's the biggest thing. And fortunately, we're starting to see that in youth sports. And so there's more and more awareness of the long-term potential ramifications. So now, instead of tackle football for like really small kids, they're doing flag football. Mm-hmm. And in soccer, instead of being able to head the ball, they're starting to make that illegal, at least up until the point that you're like in high school.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask, because I've got, the director of the Positive Coaching Alliance of North Texas here, Scott Seacules. Is the Positive Coaching Alliance doing anything nationally about this?
Well, I think it comes up occasionally in our conversations, Bernadette, but I think it's, to Dan's point, awareness is key. And the more places we can talk to our coaches about being aware and understanding what any sort of head injury looks like, whether it's a concussion or just a bump to the head, that precaution is the key.
And rest is the key as well, right?
Well,
after a hit?
Certainly. Well, and I think that gets into it.
Dr.
Yeah.
Dan?
And this is why there's a lot of controversy right now. Well, I don't know, controversy. There's more and more sophisticated assessment tools and appreciation for the need for rest. And therefore, at this point now, when there's a known injury in NFL, NHL, in the MMA arena with the UFC, when there's a known concussion, there's a mandatory sit-out time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the big concern is getting another concussion immediately after an initial concussion.
Yeah.
Because then you get this exponential worsening effect. The blood-brain barrier gets damaged more. You get more of this oxidative load and inflammatory cascade, and neurons die at an accelerated rate when you have multiple concussions stacked quickly and shortly on top of one another. So there, you really do need that rest period immediately afterwards.
Well, it's so great having you back on the show. Your book, The Concussion Repair Manual, is amazing. I highly recommend it to anyone who has a child in sports or plays sports. It's such a great manual. Thank you so much for writing it, Dr. Dan Engel.
You're very welcome, Bernadette. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, always a pleasure as well. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
All right. And so, everyone, this is a really great book. It really is. It's very comprehensive. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. We've got Scott Sequels coming up, The Price of Silence. Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine, follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagazineonline.com. That's paleomagazineonline.com. Hi, it's Bernadette. Introducing Charlotte's Web new hemp-infused coffee. Cannabis coffee that doesn't get you high. Boost your morning with antioxidants and neuroprotectants. A calm cup of coffee for improved focus and clarity. Charlotte's Web new 5280 hemp-infused coffee from Snow Street Coffee and Charlotte's Web. Dedicated to quality and responsibly sourced products. Colorado companies Snow Street Coffee and CW Hemp have come together to create a great tasting coffee that features the unique benefits of cannabinoids. In creating this coffee, great taste was and is the priority. Roasted in small batches, 5280 Coffee blends a mix of diverse coffees from the Central American Highlands. Their whole bean coffee is always roasted medium for full coffee flavor and balance, and then infused with a blend of CW cannabinoid extract in MCT-rich coconut oil. Once combined with the unmatched care that goes into Charlotte's Web, the results are a fantastic cup of coffee with an added daily health and wellness boost. Available in a 12-ounce resealable bag with 500 milligrams of Charlotte's Web hemp extract. Find them at cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract. You remember this song, Scott?
Oh, yeah. War, right?
You're right. I think it is by War. Is it by War?
Ohio Players.
Ohio Players.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Sorry, Ohio Players.
War had a song that sounded very similar to this, though. I think the name of the song was War, wasn't it, or something? Do you remember? You guys are too young. Forget about it.
Asking the wrong audience,
yeah.
Right?
Welcome back to One Life Radio. I wanted to let you know that you can listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and TuneIn. You can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, because they bring this programming to you. These are fine companies that care about the world. They care about you. They do things the right way, like Charlotte's Web, Crazy Water, H Hemp Company, EarthX, Sun Warrior, and Squatty Potty, and of course the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Dr. Joey Antonio, co-founder, our beloved Dr. Joey, was on a couple of weeks ago. Can't wait to have him back. And you know, I've got Scott Sekules in studio with me. I don't think I've ever had you here without Kip here.
So, I know. I texted her yesterday. I said, "Oh my God, you're leaving me alone. I don't know if I can handle her."
Oh my gosh, but it's so good to have you in studio.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the chance.
You know, you do so much good work out there. You know, as a son of a high school football coach, Scott brings experiences garnered from a lifetime in sports as a student athlete, NFL quarterback, intercollegiate athletics administrator, and sports parent. A graduate of the University of Virginia, Scott spent 6 seasons in the NFL as a quarterback with Dallas, Miami, and New England. He spent more than 15 years in college athletics administration at SMU, that's Southern Methodist University, and Virginia Commonwealth University. He and his wife Tammy have 3 children. He is the associate director of the Positive Coaching Alliance of North Texas. And today we're talking about the price of silence, identifying toxic coaching, and how to keep kids safe. So parents may be wondering if their child is safe, you know, Scott, when they drop them off at the gym, the pool, the court, the field. So what is important to teach our children about boundaries?
Well, I think it's very important, first of all, as leagues, you know, let's go up to the 10,000 foot view, that I think the leagues are responsible to make sure that they're looking out for the type of folks that are representing their league and interacting with their kids. So there's background checks are obviously important. I think training them on the right way to coach and the right way to interact, that's where kind of Positive Coaching Alliance come in. We partner with some national companies that help us with the background check kind of thing. But
right.
I think that's natural. But I think you've got to also be connected to that organization. You know, you can't just think that, okay, it's safe just to drop them off.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, if you kind of look at the gymnastics situation, a lot of those were, oh, no, we don't want parents here.
Right.
And we want the kids to go away and be somewhere away from their families. And so they're kind of, you know, subsumed into this new family dynamic, and there's an opportunity to kind of protect the abuse,
right.
Which is really scary.
It's funny you say family dynamic, because I think that what you guys do is so important at the Positive Coaching Alliance, because so many children now are lacking proper role models. A lot of them are from single parent families where they might not have a good role model, a male good role model in their lives. And so what you guys do is so important.
Well, you know, I think we try to stress to coaches at every level, you know, be it a high school coach or be it little league coaches or youth league coaches, that the responsibility of that title of coach and the opportunity that you have as a coach to make such a great impact and to teach these life lessons that will impact these young people for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the games have an opportunity to teach some things that you won't learn in any classroom.
Right.
And if you're doing it the right way, and if we can communicate that to our youth league coaches across North Texas and across the country, that we have an opportunity to put these kids in a position to be successful for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm thinking of Tom Landry. He's held in such high esteem, and you worked with him for many years. What did Tom Landry teach you
as a coach? I think Coach Landry was very strong in his faith, and that came through in everything he did. Very principled, very disciplined, and he expected that out of you as a professional football player. And I think that was a great stop for me early in my career, my rookie year, to be exposed to such a tradition and such a methodology that the Cowboys had in place. And I was very fortunate to experience several different ways to do it with, you know, Coach Landry my rookie year, and then 4 years with Coach Shula.
What was that like, Coach Shula?
Down in Miami,
my gosh.
Don't be a hater. I know they beat the Bills a lot. But
Well, we beat them a lot, too. So
true. At least the Jim Kelly doll's not here for listeners that know who that is. But
1999, Joe Robbie Stadium. But seriously, so what was it like to work with Don Shula?
Well, you know, I think Coach Shula did it a little different way, and I had a very different interaction with it, because Coach was still very involved in parts of our offense. So the fact that back then we still signaled in plays, we didn't have the little headsets, I spent my time between Coach Shula and our offensive coordinator on the sidelines. So a very different working relationship. And then to be able to go up to New England and play for Bill, you know, Coach Parcells, was again very different because his style was a little different.
Oh my gosh. I love Bill Parcells. I just love the way he just would say it like it is. He was so funny in the interviews after the game. He would get so angry.
He was very good with playing the media kind of poking them back.
What's the main thing you learned from him?
I think the obvious thing with Bill is that Bill figured out how, you know, and was on the cutting edge of figuring out that you coach a 53-man roster 53 different ways.
Okay.
And that is such a complex way to look at things. It's not one team. It's 53 individuals that need to be motivated and pushed and prodded and poked in different ways to maximize their performance.
Well, and that's a great coaching skill in itself, probably one of the most important ones.
Well, I think that realization is that, hey, I'm not coaching a roster of 15 little leaguers. You know, I've got 15 individual young people that might respond different ways to different things. And you learn – you know, who you can get on a little more, who you have to, you know, use with kid gloves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's part of it because what we're about is trying to allow for the very best experience and the best performance on the field and off.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if you do it the right way and you equip your coaches to create a soft, you know, a safe, loving environment for these kids, they're going to be a part of a team the rest of their lives.
Right.
You know, they're always going to have a coach / boss. They're always going to have teammates / colleagues. And if you can learn that early in life, you're going to be a lot better off down the road.
Oh, absolutely. It definitely equates to success. So let me ask you this. What could possibly be the problem with a parent watching a practice?
I don't see a lot of that. You know, I mean, I don't see a lot of problems in that. I think that's part of, you know, what maximizes the experience and what maximizes the opportunity for peak performance is having a very strong coach-player or coach-parent relationship. Mm-hmm. That bond, that understanding that you both want the same thing.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we want the best for my child, our, you know, my athlete.
Yeah, I would think it would be very good for the child because of the encouragement.
I think it is, and I think – I would be, as a parent, I would be mindful of an environment that did not encourage that. Now, granted, if you're overstepping your bounds and you're coaching from the stands at basketball practice and you're not the coach, that could get you escorted out.
Yeah.
But, you know, understanding your role and what you're there to do, which is support your child,
right,
not coach, then you should be welcome. And if you're not, then I think that raises a red flag.
Mm. Interesting. You know, I was preparing last night for this interview and I ran across a couple of topics that I thought I wanted to put in front of you. It says, stop saying good job and what to say instead.
Well, you know, we laughed during the break that's one of the things we talk to in our coaches' workshops about being truthful and specific in your praise, and that one of the worst things you could say is just good job.
Mm-hmm.
As a parent, as a coach, that it just is this, oh, good job.
Yeah.
Well, you know, how you say it, if you look on a piece of paper and look at good job, okay. But if I said, good job.
Yeah.
What does that make you feel like?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, you missed that shot. Good job, Bernadette.
So what should you say instead?
Well, I think, you know, we're talked about being very truthful and specific. So as an example, you're working with a young basketball team, and, you know, we shoot right-handed layups and we shoot left-handed layups. And when you shoot them left-handed, it's a challenge for little kids.
Right.
And, you know, they tend to go in there and practice, and they'll try. And then you get in a game, and they go up the left side of the basket, and they shoot it right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
So what we try to do is cultivate this confidence that – we want them to give their best effort and not be scared to try it.
Right.
So when they go to the basket, they might shoot a left-handed layup that lands three rows deep in the stands. But you as a coach better praise that because they were brave enough to try and they gave great effort to try a left-handed layup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what the parents. Hey,
I love
you did a great job out there. Congratulations on trying a left-handed layup. Maybe it'll go in the next time.
Man, I've got more questions, but one I want to get to really, really quick because I think this is so important. What age should a child start playing sports? What do you feel is the youngest? Because some of these kids, they start at 3 years old, and I know that's a tough question, and we only have like 15 seconds.
I think if they're in a nurturing situation, Bernadette, it's fine. You know, and I think you got to manage expectations. And the key when they're young is it's got to be fun.
Right. Because
if it's not fun, they're not ever going to make it to be a 9-year-old player.
Yeah.
Because they're going to quit when they're 5 or 6. And well, that's a shame.
I think it should always be fun.
It's got to be. I know I have
fun watching sports. So always great to have you in studio. Scott Sekules, thank you so much. He is the Associate Director of the Positive Coaching Alliance here in North Texas. Everyone, you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.